precious name. Amen. I want to read these to you. Martin Luther said this, is prayer your steering wheel, or Corrie ten Boom said this, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Matter of fact, Leonard Ravenhill wrote a whole thing about prayer. He said that prayer is the Cinderella of the church. And it truly is. Here's what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is to be no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Here's what Charles Haddon Spurgeon finally said. True prayer is neither a mere exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. Charles Haddon Spurgeon also said this. He says, if you believe in prayer at all, expect God to hear. If you do not expect, you will not have. God will not hear you unless you believe. He will hear you, but if you believe, He will and be as good as your faith. George Mueller said this, which was a giant of prayer, a man of great prayer. You read the story of George Mueller. It says, let no one profess to trust in God and yet lay up for the future wants. Otherwise, the Lord will first send him to the board. I don't know what it's. Anyway, skip that one. I'll read that one next week. I typed that one wrong. I thought I copied and pasted it. Anyway, let's read what Abraham Lincoln said. Anybody know who he is? I know that the Lord is always on the side of the right, but it is my consistent, constant, anxious, and prayer that I and this nation may be on the Lord's side. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? Matthew chapter 6, we see that here we are shown how not to pray. We're shown how to pray, but we're shown how not to pray. Don't pray as the hypocrites do. Here's what Webster said about of course, when you talk about the hypocrites, here's what Webster said about him. One who feigns to be what he is not. One who has the form of godliness without the power. Or one who assumes an appearance of piety and virtue when he is destitute of true religion. That's what Webster said. That's pretty good. Now, that's the old 1828 Webster's. But the hypocrites, that's who they are. But I want to show you that why do the hypocrites pray? Well, here's number one, for publicity. They do it for publicity reasons. They want to be seen. Notice what it said in verse 2. It says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have what? Glory of men. In other words, when they went out there, and there, if there was a poor person, matter of fact, when it talks about the synagogues, that's where a lot of the poor people would hang out because, by the way, a lot of people still call the church because they think that good deeds is part of salvation. So they think if they call the church has to give them money in order for them people to get to heaven. And in the times of Christ, it was the same way that they stood at the synagogue because they thought it was part of the religious racket that was going on that day. Why? Because of these hypocrites that were probably Pharisees. When they come by, they would say, I am giving you money today because I love Jesus. Here is $25 for you today. $25 for you today. Take a picture. If they would have had cameras back then, that would have been the truth. And they wanted the publicity. And it says when you stand praying, it goes on down. Verse 5, it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets. Listen, I've been in independent Baptist churches where people have tried to show off their prayer abilities. I have been in an independent Baptist service before, and all of a sudden, a guy stand up in the back and say, in the middle of everything going on. Wanted just to say, hey, everybody look at me. I'm a spiritual man. The hypocrites were saying, oh, look at me, look at me. I want the publicity. Right? I mean, you know, if there was no media and no cameras today, how much good would the world be doing? Amen. You know where you do the most good, right? In secret. Why? Because here's what the Bible just told us is that what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. I like that. You know what? Sometimes I don't like the ministries I have because they are so open. And there's a lot of things I'm not going to get rewards for that somebody like Miss Bandy's going to get rewarded for because she just entered into her closet and she prayed for her pastor. Amen. We say this all the time as preachers. We're going to be in the back of the line while all the widow ladies and the widowers are in front. And God's just going, dumping the crowns out to him. We walk by and he's like, I think I got something. You know what I mean? That's the way you feel sometimes. But that's what he was telling me. Now notice number two, if you will. They do it for pride reasons. Look at me. It's a pride issue. It's trying to be better than you really are. None of us have those problems, do we? I used to love it. You know, there are certain people in life that would never pick up a vacuum cleaner unless their mom or daddy were around. Or unless the pastor was around, right? It's amazing. But sometimes we do things not because of the right reasons, like the hypocrites did. They did it for what? Pride reasons. It's about me. By the way, that's a mark of the devil, isn't it? Pride is a mark of the devil, and we should never do anything for pride reasons. Now, notice this. For perception. I love this word because he says that they wanted to be seen. They wanted to be heard. They wanted to be seen. But they wanted the perception that I am holier than you are because of what I do. I am glad there are no Christians in this world that are that way. Right? Uh-huh. In there taking a nap. Somebody catches you in Jesus' name. Amen. Right? Perspective. You were not sleeping. You were praying. Right? And some people on Sunday morning, they're not sleeping. They're praying for their pastor. Part of the snoring is part of when you get into that deep prayer. You know? That's that deep prayer. It's like, you know? But it's perception. By the way, the hypocrite and the heathen, notice he changes to the heathen. He takes the hypocrite, which is a false person, to a heathen that is a wicked person. And we'll talk about what the heathen was doing, that the vain repetition. And what that means is, as a matter of fact, if you study the word vain, and I did this week, and I wrote it down, here's what it means. It means empty or useless. So if you take empty or useless, and you repeat it. That's what they were doing. In other words, here's what they would do in their prayers. Matter of fact, if you study a little bit about the Pharisees, is that they would have a certain prayer that they read. And that prayer was very repetitive. I've been at accident scenes before where people have been very badly injured before or even have lost their lives. And I've seen people gather and they go, hold hands in there, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I'm like, and they just keep saying it over and again. That's not with the heart. By the way, God is not going to listen to what's coming out your mouth. It's not about this. It's about your heart. It's about your inner being, who you are, how you pray. It's not about perception. It's about what's in our heart and what comes out. That vain repetition is that we say in the same thing. As a matter of fact, I read a quote today from somebody. It's from the Institute of Creation Science, ICR. Is that what it is? Yeah, whatever that one is. And they were saying that most prayers are like most of the new songs that are out today. 7 words, 11 times, just repeated. By the way, it's not about our perception that, oh man, listen to that guy pray. I don't want anybody. I want people to hear my prayer and say, what a mighty God we serve. It's not about Michael Wiggins. It's not about you. And by the way, there are great prayer warriors in this life. And I do like to hear their prayers. And matter of fact, I used to pray just like my grandfather because that's who I learned to really pray after. I would hear my grandfather pray and my mother pray. And I would mock their prayers until I figured it out on my own. That's okay. That was a good illustration I had with my grandfather. And hear him pray. And he was... I'm telling you, I had to look up sometimes to make sure that God wasn't sitting in a chair right beside him. I mean, I felt that he had such a relationship with God. By the way, again, it's about fellowship with the Father. That's what prayer is. It's about us entering into a place of fellowship with Him. By the way, if it's about Him, it's never about us. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. Let's go on. Moving on. Things that hinder our prayers tonight. Obviously tonight we're talking about problems with prayer. We've talked about the path. We've talked about the pattern of prayer, the model prayer which we read last week. And now tonight the problem of prayer. Next week we'll be off. We got Master Clubs, and then the next week we'll talk about the power of prayer. And that's where I really want to get to and hope you'll make it for that one. But talking about the problems of prayer. What hinders our prayer life? By the way, there are things that hinder our prayer life, such as there's things that hinder our Christian life. Things that hinder our work life, our marriage life. There are things that, he was talking about ruts a while ago. We get in ruts sometimes. But you can find scripture for those. Okay? Here's what Spurgeon also said. He said, Christians, prayers are not measured by weight nor by length. Many of the most prevailing prayers have been as short as they were strong. Think about the thief on the cross. He just cried out to the Lord. He said, have mercy on me. I mean, you think about it. And Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Look, I believe that it's not about this. It's about this. It's not about the length of it. It's not about the depth of it. It's about the heart that is behind it. And sometimes that we get hindered by things. By the way, I get hindered by a lot of things. Don't you? I have a lot of hindrances a lot of times in my life. I'm going to give you these tonight. Number one. Unforgiven sin. I want you to look with me, if you will. Look over in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if you want to. If you want to just write these down, that'd be fine too. But if you'd look over there at Psalm, if you can, Psalm 66 and verse 18. Most of you know these verses that I'm going to give you tonight. But I want to talk about unforgiven sin. And by the way, I'm not talking about you forgiving somebody else. That's next. But it's about sin in our life. Here's what the Scripture says. It says, Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, if I regard in my heart. By the way, how do we pray? We pray from the heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin blocks the conduit of prayer. Sin blocks the conduit of prayer. It blocks the fellowship with the Father. And that's what we are trying to get to in prayer, in our prayer life, is fellowship with the Father. And sin breaks down that fellowship. It doesn't break down the relationship. It breaks down the fellowship that we have with Him. And what are we to do? We are to confess our sins. You ought to just read the life of David. The life of David is a great example of what forgiveness does in one man's life. You read Psalm 55 and notice how he asks the Lord to forgive him. Matter of fact, we sing the song, search me, O God, try me, know my heart. That song was out of the heart of David whenever he was bubbling over with really conviction in his heart. And God healed and God forgave him of that. And it was amazing how David after that said, Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, let thine ears be attentive to my prayer. Why? Because David understood that until he got that sin forgiven, the conduit of prayer in his life was blocked off. There is nothing more aggravating than to have a conduit that's stopped up. Trust me. We ran about 650 miles of it back there. One pipe we forgot to plug. One pipe. One inch conduit we forgot to plug. They covered it up. We finally found it. But when we found it, it took us 2 days to get it unplugged. We had blowers, air compressors, vacuums, trying to get that out of there. I'm telling you, we tried everything known to man. The best day ever was whenever I had an epiphany. I said, Brother Chad, I'm going to get at one end with the vacuum cleaner. You go on the other end with the pressure washer. Something's got to give. And it did. And boy, whenever, it was amazing. When it came out, hallelujah for that. Why? Because we needed to get a wire from here to there. We couldn't do it with that conduit block. Whereas we need to get our prayer from here to there. It does no good if my prayer just comes out and floats around in here. I need my prayer to go into the Father's house. I need to approach the throne of grace. But the thing that's going to hinder me is unforgiven sin. Number two, let me give it to you quickly. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. I'll read these to you. Well, matter of fact, look at Matthew chapter 6. It's in Matthew chapter 6 where we are. You know what the Bible says. And by the way, I read so many commentations on this, and people try to explain things away. Well, really, in the Greek, this is what this means. And if you read, you know, Joseph Smith, this is what he believes. And I'm like, what is Jesus? This is Jesus' own words. Amen. He says in verse 14, If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. I don't need no dictionary for that. Amen. That's kind of like getting directions saying, go 1 mile, turn right. Got that. Then he says, but if you forgive not men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of yours, or your trespass. In other words, you forgive men, God forgives you. You don't forgive men, God don't forgive you. You say, whoa, wait a minute. That's what the Bible says. I believe that with all my heart. You say, well, you're wrong. Well, if I'm wrong, then, oh, well, I just forgave a lot of people in my life. What's wrong with that? And by the way, I didn't want to ever have a schism between me and Brother Feaser. Why? Because then I got a schism between me and God. And by the way, how in the world are we expecting the Heavenly Father to forgive us if we're not willing to forgive somebody else? And I already know what most people are thinking. Not in here, other people, otherwhere, in other churches. Well, you just don't know what they did to me. You hear that all the time. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't do that to us? Well, you just don't know what they did to me. Uh-huh. You just don't know what they did to me. They plucked his beard out and they spit on it. They put a crown of thorns on it. They pierced his side. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. And then we're going to say, well, you just don't understand what they did to me. Listen, it takes a bigger Christian to forgive somebody than any other person in this world. It's hard to forgive people. I realize that. And I'm big on the forgiveness. Forgetting is hard. Amen. There's people I've asked to forgive me over the years that had no clue I had an ought against them. And that's when you go to them, you go, would you please forgive me? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, man, I didn't even have to come over here. My goodness, I told on myself. But man, I'll tell you, the weight that is lifted off of me when I did, even though they had no clue that I had an ought against them, and go to them and say, would you please forgive me? Sometimes I say things the wrong way and people have taken things the wrong way. And I had to go to them, I'm sorry about that. That wasn't what my intentions was. And I'm sorry for that. And all of a sudden, it's just like a weight that is lifted off of you. I don't know about you, but I want God to hear my prayer. If I was to have cancer tonight, I would think I would... Matter of fact, it's amazing how we ought to pray just as much as if we all have some kind of dying disease. We ought to pray for each other. I hate cancer, don't you? But you know what? If something was to happen to me or my family, I want to make sure I got my conduit clean. And I want to make sure that I'm clean inwardly, but I also want to make sure I'm right with you, because God said He will not hear you. Now let me give you one. Ooh, go on. Marriage problems. All right? Nobody has a problem with that. We'll just move on. Wait a minute. I will read you a verse because it is in the Bible. Turn over to 1 Peter. We got to look at this one. Some of you wives go, honey, you better read that one. Mm-hmm. Here's your highlighter, baby. I saw Angela hand Brother Feaser one. Chapter 3, verse 7. Just kidding. My wife's got 20 highlighters. She's already highlighted all my Bibles. Here's what the Bible says. By the way, people are so relaxed about marriage today. And they don't really understand the seriousness that God lays on marriage. By the way, God instituted marriage in the beginning. And God is still taking marriage just as serious today. Take your marriage serious. Because here's what it says. It says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In other words, if mine and Danya's relationship is wrong as a husband and wife, then God is not going to hear my prayers. He said it. He said your prayers will be hindered. Marriage problems. By the way, how in the world am I going to fuss at my wife and go, now, Lord, thank you for being... Here I am, I'm going to approach a holy God and I don't have a right relationship with my wife. God wants me to have a right relationship with those who He's entrusted me with so I can have a right fellowship with Him. And don't stop up that conduit between you and God. Make sure that marriage is right. Treat your wife like she ought to be treated. I'm just going to give this to you for free. It didn't say anything about the wives to the husband. It said husbands about the wives. That your prayers be not hindered. Why? Because God still says, I don't care what anybody says, the man's still the head of the home. He's still responsible. I know that's not popular. They were right in the streets if you said that today, out in the public. But I'm telling you, that is the truth. It's not that the wife's down here and the man's up here going, we're equal. But God's holding me accountable, because here's the problem, is that we are a picture of Christ and His church. And if we ever mess that picture of Christ and the church up, we're going to have a generation like we have today. Let me give you the next thing. I've got to move on. Selfishness. None of us have problems with that either. I want to read James. It was over 1 Peter, so I told you to stay there. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, if you look there with me. James chapter 4, I'll try to read it fast. It says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." Now here's why he says. He says, "That you may consume it upon your lust." Here's the thing. God says, if because of selfishness, in other words, if you go to the Lord in prayer and you say, "Lord, my wife is being hateful to me. She will not let me have that new, whatever, bass boat." That's always what we go to. "And Lord, would you please change her heart?" We missed that, didn't we? We asked amiss. In other words, here's the goal of our praying right here. That's it. And we ask amiss. In other words, we keep missing. Why? Because we ask upon our lust. It's about what I want. By the way, it's never about what you want. It's about, "God, what do you want from me? God, I want to go to Cancun to be a missionary." But that's not what God wants for me. God, I've done told you my motorhome story. I asked amiss. Way miss. Let me give you the last thing. I got to quit. Here's the key right here. By the way, the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. The key to prayer is faith. By the way, why would we ever go to a holy God and bow before Him, kneel before Him, and say, "Father, I'm not sure if you're going to even do this"? We missed it, didn't we? We ought to have that confident expectation in our Savior and in our God that, "Lord, you put this on my heart. And Lord, I'm asking you with full faith." By the way, God loves faith. God will act upon faith. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." James 1, 5 through 7 says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth like the wind, the sea driveth with the wind tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." Why? Because he's like this. He's like, "Well, I believe. Well, I don't know if God will do it. Well, maybe God will do it. I don't know if God will do it. Just believe God will do it." Now, it may not. Now, listen, it better be His will and not yours. It can't be about selfishness. It has to be about God. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe as Christians tonight, the greatest thing we're missing is faith. In prayer, is believing that God can do what He said He'd do. By the way, we as Christians are to rest upon His promises. By the way, just as I know that He's coming, I've got all faith in knowing that He's coming. I may be raptured out of the grave, but I promise you, I know He's coming without a shadow of a doubt. But I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes when I go to prayer, I better ask in all faith, believing. Listen, not necessarily that you ask for something, a specific thing, and you believe that God's going to give it to you. No, it's just believing God's going to hear your prayer, and God's going to answer it according to His will. Not according to your will. Not according to man's will, but according to His will. And when I go down on my knees in prayer, I believe in God is there with me, listening to me, and that He's going to answer it in His time and in His way. If I did not believe that, I would not be at church tonight. The reason you're here at Wednesday night is because you believe God. You believe God can work in your life. You believe the Word of God is a powerful Word. And that's why you're here tonight. You could have stayed at home and done anything, but I'm glad you're here tonight. You got faith in Him. And when we come and pray, by the way, I've been praying for my father for 25 years to get saved. You say, "Well, man, God ain't hearing your prayers." By the way, we'll talk about this next week or the week after. Repetition in prayer, praying for the same thing is okay. Paul did it. He said that, "I sought the Lord thrice, three times for the same thing." I've been praying for 25 years for my father to get saved. You say, he hadn't got saved yet? No, but I'm telling you, I might get a phone call after church tonight. I might get a phone call in the morning. I just every time I see my father, he doesn't call me very often, but every time it rings, I'm like, ooh, come on. Is that it? No. Okay. I just keep believing. You know why? Because I keep praying for him. He's on the top of my list. What are you praying about? By the way, sometimes the longer you pray for something, the less faith we have toward the end of it. Our faith wavereth. He that wavereth is like the wind. And God said, he shall not expect nothing from God. I paraphrase that. So what do we need to do? We need to pick up our faith. How do we pick up our faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're in the right place tonight. Iron sharpeneth iron. That's what we do. We're here tonight to encourage each other that God's still on the throne. And that God's still here in prayer. Let's stand and I'll pray and then Pastor, you come. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. Thank you for the avenue of prayer that we have. But Father, we do know that there's problems of prayer that we've seen through the heathen and through the hypocrites. Help us not to be them tonight. God, help us to have a clean slate and a marriage that is honoring to you. God, I love you tonight. I ask you to bless this invitation in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. What a powerful message tonight on prayer, amen. And I just remember the story, man come to Jesus and increase my faith. He asked Jesus, increase my faith. So I just don't have the faith in prayer. Well, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, help my faith. And I'm thankful he'll answer the prayer. Hymn 153, I surrender all. Lord, touch your heart, you come.